morning, church.
Pastor Larry, you discouraged, not a lot of people come. No, I'm not discouraged. Let me tell you what we're going to do. We're Bible study starting next month again. And listen, they're going to be on Tuesdays, but they might not be the first and we're all family together. Can I get an amen? I'm sorry. So it might not be the first and third Tuesday. And in fact, it might be a Thursday some weeks because of our work schedule. But we're going to have Bible studies. And I pray that you all come because it's going to lead you to want to read more of the Bible, Lisa. Not just learn something, but say, hey, I want to learn more. That's what the Bible study is going to be. And my heart's telling me we need to have a concert outside come May. We need to have a gospel concert right outside, out there, out this window. We'll put chairs out and we'll put people in our yards so the city can't say, well, you can't do it on the green. We don't worry about what we can't do on the green, but we can have a concert right here. I'm not discouraged. Let's have a concert right here and invite the city to hear the gospel and to hear music and people singing and praising God. I'm not discouraged because Elder Pat came today. She, Karen Tom, came today. I tell them my heart, my spirit, I needed to see them today. I'm not discouraged. I have a message that will change your life. If people don't want to hear it, I get that. If you're whatever, I pray for them. I pray for them because every day I pray for everybody to be fed the word of God that changes your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. And that's what I pray for. And I'm not discouraged. In fact, there's so much more going on inside of me that I can't contain it. But we're going to have Bible studies when we open it up and we read together and we study together. Some things that you might find amusing, things you might find entertaining, things you might find informative, but things that'll make you want to look for yourself. And how many have a favorite scripture in the Bible? You all got favorite scriptures, right? Well, we're going to do the Bible study. We'll find out where that scripture came from. Because it's one scripture in the Bible, but there was something before and after. So maybe if you know the before and after, that scripture will mean even more to you, right, Deacon? So let's stand up and pray together this morning. This is the way Billy Graham would do it. Billy Graham, Reverend Billy Graham. Millions of people, my wife is right, millions of people came to hear this man speak about one thing, Jesus, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. And I want you to pray for my bride, because when she thinks I get discouraged, she gets all stressed out and worried, thinking that I'm discouraged when I'm on fire for the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. And we're going to do it Reverend Graham's way today. You may be seated. Responsive reading, Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. The floods have lifted up. Up, Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Yes, he is. Your testimonies, oh baby, you're going to be so glad you came to this church today. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, oh Lord, forever. Holiness adorns your house forever. Isn't that awesome? Holiness adorns this house. And he inhabits the what? The praise of his people. See, they're learning something. See, they're getting it. A little bit of time. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I had this sermon. I'm so excited. You're not going to fall asleep today. I pray. Amen. Receive it. Are you ready to receive? We're going to do it. I'm going to quote some scripture. In Matthew, it says, every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And Mark, it says, and if a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand, but has an end. And Luke tells us, a house divided against a house falls. So what does that tell us? We need to stand together. Not just as men and women, because we're men and women here, right? We're still men and women. They call everything, but we're still, but we're Christians. Say that with me. Christians. That is why Jesus is the pinnacle. He is the highest peak. It's, we all want the same thing. Can I get that from you? We all want the same thing. But Jesus has to be right here. He has to be the bright, shining star that we look up to. Right, James? It has to be God. Everything you're going through, God is watching. He's with you. We're praying for you, but God is doing the heavy lifting. And God is right there. And you got to keep focus. How many know you got to keep focus? You can't slack off every other week. You can't do it. Are we coming to a place where we can no longer disagree? My word. We must hate those we disagree with? Who does that? That's the world. Say that with me. The world. Helen, that's the world, and with two words. The world without God. The world without God. If I disagree with you, I have to hate you now. I have to call you a name, and you have to call me a name because I happen to have a different opinion. Amen. And this man right here was so important to my ministry years ago when he said to me, you give a lot of your opinion in it. And he was right. And every time I preach, I think about that. And I thank you for your honesty, because I'm trying not to do that every week, because we all have opinions, right, Greg? Hallelujah. But I can tell you, it's not my opinion. You see what the world looks like without God. Amen. 50 years ago, stores were closed on Sundays. Amen. 50 years ago, there were no soccer games on Sunday. 50 years ago, there was no Little League games on Sunday. 50 years ago, people had dinner together, and they ate together, and they talked together, and they didn't have cell phones where they had all this other stuff going on that they didn't have time for the person sitting next to them. Amen. This is crazy. The world wants us to be divided. The world, and when I say the world, you understand who that is? Satan wants us to be divided. Not just your house, not just your home, but right here in God's house, the church. He wants the church to be divided, and he's going to do everything he can to divide us. Everything. How much? Listen, family and friends are being torn apart. Family and friends are being torn apart simply because of an election. I get it. But family and friends, they're not talking. We saw a man on TV the other day, a beautiful man in a suit, said, I haven't talked to my father and mother in 6 months because of the election. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Because of an election? Your life must be so good that one thing makes, I mean, simply because of this. Not the election as much as simply because they disagree. Amen? Because they disagree, family and friends aren't even talking anymore. Fathers don't go visit their sons. Sons don't go visit their mother because of a disagreement. Who does that? Does God do that?
No.
Who does that? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you how valuable what we have today is, how your life is. If my brother Peter came back and I had 5 minutes to talk to him about Aaron Boone, I could care less about what he thought about anything else in the whole world. Understand, we don't have time to be hate like that, because we need to rise up. People, understand what the world's going on out there. People are hating each other for different opinions. I would take 5 minutes with Pete. I don't care what he does. I wouldn't disagree with anything. 5 minutes with my mother, who cares if she didn't like me because this isn't St. Mary's Church. Amen? You understand how valuable what you have here today? I'm going to ask you questions. I know you don't want to, but where is God in all that? And let me tell you something. These people who are fighting amongst themselves, they're believers. Can you imagine that? All these people, they're not all believers, but the majority of these people who are fighting, they go to church. They believe God. What happened to mercy? What happened to forgiveness? What happened to compassion? What happened to love? Love. Husbands and wives getting divorced because of an election. You tell me there's God in that house? Where? In a book on the shelf covered with dust? God is the key to our healing. God is the key to everything that we look for. And Billy Graham gave this speech. He talked about Jesus all the time. He didn't try to get philosophical with people and read big words. He got right to the heart of it. You and God, Lisa. You and God. That's it. That's all he cared about. He wanted you to be saved and know Jesus, and because Jesus will work in your life. Thank you, Lord. Many of these people go to church. It's true, right, honey? People hold tight to their traditions. They hold tight to their... They walk into church, they do the sign of the cross before they sit down. Do they know what it means? What? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. What's that? What would you just do? I don't know. That's what I do. Why'd you do it? I don't know. I went to Ash Wednesday. I had ashes. Why? I don't know. My mother did. That's why I did. It's a tradition. I have to do it. I have to show people I'm holy. It doesn't show people anything. You love God. That's why you did it. And when you go to church and you do that, you reverence to God because that's what you were taught. But we're here in this book. Where does it say that? Guess what? It doesn't. Understand, people hold tight to their tradition, but they let go of God the first time something happens. They walk away from God. They don't even know God. Okay, we got to talk about it. We face the unthinkable again. What happened in Florida 2 weeks ago? You see it with your eyes. Evil in the world. Amen? Evil in the world. You see it. You can't even think it. You couldn't have thought that 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 minutes before it happened. You couldn't think imagining somebody and something could be so evil to do what happened in the world. But the Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us that there's evil in the world. Amen? So what are we surprised about? We face the unthinkable. And again, I'm going to tell you this. We all have our ideas. Can I get an amen? We all have our opinions. But here's what the world will not tell you for whatever reason. We all want the same thing. If your idea is better than mine or my idea is better than yours, we put it together and people are safe. Isn't that the better thing? Isn't that what we all want? Yet the world without God wants division. They want us to fight. Devil wants us to fight. They want us to fight in church. They want us to fight with our friends. He wants us to fight with your family. He wants you to argue about things that who cares about? I had 5 minutes with my brother. I could care less. You understand how important our life is today? The things, the beautiful things you can do today. The joy of going out for dinner like we're going to do later. The things in life that God bless you. You got all that to think about and you're not talking to your mother because she voted Republican? That's insanity. You understand? Whatever party. It's not political. I'm just talking about life. We want that. It's a vision. And you know why? The Bible. I read it before. What does the vision do? It makes us weaker. It makes God weaker. It makes the church weaker. It makes our home weaker. It makes you and your wife's relationship weaker. And let me tell you, it's not easy being married. Can I get an amen? Is it easy being married to me? Of course not. You better not say it is, because I'll call you a liar right here in church. It's not easy. So that's why you need God. See, you need to look at Jesus. Sometimes you get so mad you want to whatever, but you take 3 minutes and you breathe, and God just takes your spirit. See, that third part of the Holy Spirit, that's inside of you. That's God inside of you. God inside of who? Hallelujah. We lay blame. Anybody hear anybody blame? That's all I hear, people blaming people. Blaming this, blaming that. And we lay fault at other people's feet. Oh, it's somebody else's fault. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. Well, that's cool. Then we're told that we need to hate those we disagree with. In this book, do you see anything about that? Amen. Billy Graham talked about hate? No, he talked about love. He talked about being one. He talked about being a family. Hundreds of thousands of people in an auditorium all feeling the same spirit. They're all denominations, all minorities, all people of nationalities, and all of a sudden, they're one person looking into Jesus. Amen. Don't tell me that God can't perform miracles. I see it with my own eyes. How many have seen God perform it? I've seen God perform miracles. God does not divide us. God is not a divider. He loves us. Remember that song we sang, "It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord," and you're singing that feeling pretty good? Well, if that truly is you, you don't have time to blame anybody else. You don't have time to look at anybody else's faults because it's you in the need of prayer. Can I get an amen? That's good. Okay. How you doing? Good? I'm just getting warmed up. When I get done with this, you guys, I'm done. We allow ourselves to be attacked. I'm going to tell you, Christians, you do. We allow ourselves to be attacked because we don't speak up. And I don't mean fight. We don't fight, but you don't speak up. You don't say, hey, that's wrong. We don't speak up for our faith. We're mocked. Faith is mocked and laughed at. All you need to do is pay attention to see that. There's a beautiful church, and I'm sorry I don't remember the state it's in. It's an absolutely beautiful church where they have the kids coming for the graduation ceremonies. And they showed it's a beautiful, not cathedral, what would you do? Yeah. Beautiful. And the church lets them go there and have their graduations. Perfect for it. Well, some people got together and said, well, they got to cover all the crosses before they can have the graduation there. Thank you, Lord. The church said, no, thank you. But you understand, where did that come from? How can people hate God? Even if you don't believe, then don't believe. I don't believe in atheists. I'll tell you the truth. I don't believe anybody is a true atheist. I'd like to know why they don't like God. Why they don't. Because to me, that just doesn't sound right. We're born with this spirit of compassion. We're born with this love. We love our mother the day we're born. To think that you don't love God. Okay, I get it. You hate God. I get it. But not to even believe that there might be somebody bigger than us. But they stood up and said, these children cannot come to this absolutely beautiful place that was perfect for everybody, plenty of parking, beautiful, because there's crosses. And they said, and thank God the church said, well, that's too bad, then I guess you'll have to find another place. Yeah. Amen. I'm sorry I have to confess to you. I talk to Jesus. I do. I talk to Jesus. And let me tell you something else, more confession. Jesus talks back to me. He talks to me. Amen? He does. Maybe not, I don't hear his voice like I hear Greg singing, but here, open up this book and start reading. Guess who's, God is talking to me. He's talking to Larry Crisilli. He doesn't care that I'm a pastor. He's no respecter of persons. Understand that. God is no, you can wear the most beautiful hat, have the most beautiful gown on. He doesn't care about that. He wants to know right here. And he talks to me. I'm sorry. He speaks to me. And the Holy Spirit, you see, that's what the world doesn't get. And I understood that immediately when I heard somebody mocking somebody who said they talked to Jesus. They don't get the Holy Spirit, see. God says when you trust, when you give your heart to Him, you get the Holy Spirit inside of you. Imagine that flow, the Holy Spirit inside of you. Which means God is inside of me now. So they don't get that. That's how God speaks to me. He leads me. He corrects me. Oh boy, does He correct me. He stops me from saying things I shouldn't say because if I hold my lip fast enough, I won't say it. That is a lesson. If you all learn that lesson to not speak when you want to speak, I'm telling you, everybody at home is going to be a lot happier. I'm just saying. Somebody in the Bible, oh, the Bible says that if you deny Him, this is powerful. Listen to this, please. The Bible says, Reverend Graham would tell you that if you deny Him, He will deny you. Isn't that scary? I mean, scary in a way that my heart just breaks. I know it's not going to happen to me because, you know, but if you deny Him, He will deny you. And in the Bible, it talks about one person. What was his name? Peter. He's going to deny Him. And Jesus even told him, when the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. Amen. The pain that Peter was in when he realized what he had done was more pain than he had faced in all his life because he denied the one who gave him all that. The love, the compassion, everything. He denied Him. In fact, if you read your Bible, you understand when Jesus came back, when the disciples saw Him, you know who Jesus said? Where is Peter? Because he knew, read it in the Bible, friend. He knew that Peter was suffering so bad that first thing He said, bring me Peter. I need to see Peter. Tell him everything's okay. You deny Him, amen? So we should never have to tell somebody, and I've said this before, we should never have to tell somebody we're a Christian. Never. You should never have to say you're a Christian. The glow should come right off of you. The love, the compassion, the smile, the tenderness should come right off of you. You shouldn't have to say, I go to church. People would say, you go to church, don't you? You read the Bible, you believe. That's what they should see. Now, I know I talked about families getting separated because of election, Greg. But you want to hear something even more confusing? Because of an election, people aren't talking. Because of denominations, people aren't talking. Because I don't go to their church, they're not welcome here. They don't want to come here. Don't go there. Don't go see him. Because of a denomination, because people go to a certain church and that's where God lives and He's not living in my house because I wear the wrong outfit or I don't have the right hat on or I don't whatever we do. The Christian family divides itself. Satan don't need any help with that. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. David, people come from the Boy Scouts. How many times have we seen, oh, don't go there, that's not my church. They don't come here. You know, I talk to some of the families from the people that go, and they don't accept what I'm saying. They come here and they say, well, no, I have to go to confession. I have to do this. They won't receive the word here because it's not where they go to church. So as brothers and sisters in the Lord, who are we? Brothers and sisters in the Lord, yet we can't be with other believers because it's not their same church. Tell me that's not crazy. Tell me that Satan doesn't have an edge in there. Hallelujah. A house divided cannot stand. Hallelujah. That's confusion to me. Don't go there. Don't believe him. Even if somebody reads from his word, they won't buy it. I've talked to people all the time. I get it. They won't buy it. Oh, what school did you go to? I went to the school of hard knocks. I got in the Bible. I suffered. I was down. And I got in the Bible. And God lifted me up. That's what he did to Paul. That's what he did to Peter. That's what he did to John. What school did Mark go to? I don't know. He went to the school of hard knocks and walked with the apostles. I had the writings of the apostles. Amen? Because I love God so much. I want you to have the same love and joy that I have with the Lord. Hallelujah. I've seen God's word heal. I want to say that again. I have seen God's word heal people. I have seen people with memorial services that were so distraught. After giving them God's word, I see a smile. I see a refreshment. I see an awakening. I see hope for tomorrow. That is healing. Amen? I've seen lives changed. I've seen people given peace and joy. I've seen the sick healed through faith. I have seen the sick healed through their faith. I have seen people rise up. I've seen it. I've seen people so down and rise up when they hear and become free and have new hope. I see people dare to believe. And this is also something I see, and this hurts my heart. I see people get healed. I see people get excited. I see people get up. I see people calling for prayer and get the prayer. And I see people saying, this is what I need. I feel stronger. And then all of a sudden, good things happen in their life and they forget God. Oh, I can't go to church Sunday. I have a job to do. Really. Oh, I can't come because we have problems at home. Really. God got you through those problems last month, but you don't want to come to... They don't keep God as the pinnacle. I'm sorry. There's men who came to this church, and I believe, this is my opinion, Greg, I have to tell you, I believe he'd be alive today if he kept coming to church. I do. I believe that he would be alive today if he kept coming, because the Spirit of God was moving in him. He was rising up, receiving the Word of God, wanting to be healed, wanting to let go of the things that were killing him. And then he one day decided he felt so good he didn't need God. He felt so good, well, I'm going to take a couple of Sundays off. We're going to do this. We're going to go tobogganing. We're going to go with our canoe. And next thing you know, a month turned into 2 months. Next thing you know, 3 months turned into 4 months. Next thing you know, he's back to the alcohol again. Next thing you know, he's back to the drugs again. You blaming God for that? God brought him to the healing point. I seen it with my eyes. I see it every day with people who love God, who forget to worship him, who forget to trust him. Hallelujah. That's the word. To trust him. What's missing in the world today, church? What's missing in your life, even though you know him? You don't know him good enough. People say, I need to hear more. Billy Graham gave the same message everywhere he went. He preached it with all he had. That's all the testimonies I've heard since he passed. Oh, he believed what he said. He was a great leader. He was a great listener. He was compassionate. He didn't judge anybody. He lifted up everybody. He gave people hope. He talked about Jesus. He talked about the Word of God, the Bible, being in your life. That's all he talked about. And hundreds of thousands of people came to see him. Amen? Where you're sitting today, people came to see him. They're here, the Word of God, just where you're sitting here and today, the same Word. Just Billy Graham, if he was standing here, he'd be telling you the same thing. Why isn't that enough? Amen? And now here's where it gets really good. Who are you in God's eyes? Deacon Chuck? I'm going to tell you something so great about who you are in God's eyes. Bernie, who you are in God's eyes. Joanne, who you are in God's eyes. Not my eyes, not the church's eyes, not anybody. Whose eyes? Thank you, Lord. First of all, in Revelation, it says this. Blessed is he who? Who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. Talking about this book. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written in it. Blessed. Blessed. Can you say that with me? Blessed. A place of favor with God. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice. How much malice? All deceit. How much deceit? Hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Desire the pure milk of the word, the purest milk right through you. Just desire that. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Listen to this. Coming to him, coming to God as to a living stone. God knows you. He's the living stone. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God as precious. You also, who? Us, right? As living stones are being built up, here we go, a spiritual house. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. A holy priesthood. Who are you today? You're a holy what? Who said that? Me? No, who said it? Right here. You know who said it? Peter. The one who denied Jesus three times. The one who Jesus asked to see. The one who loved Jesus with all his heart and realized the pain of not having him. Understand that. He knew the pain of not having him much more than we could have because he was with him. And he wrote this for who? Hallelujah. Who are you in the Lord? Fred? Royal priesthood. Ephesians. Thank you, Lord. Listen to this. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. In whom the whole building being fitted together grows in a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Children, this is you. You are being part of the members of whose house? This is you, having been built on the foundation. It says built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets. Simply means you've been built, Jim, on on these prophets and these apostles. The foundation, this is your foundation. But you've been built up, but you are a member of the family. You don't need to call anybody else to go to God because you're part of the family. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That ain't enough. But you, me, say you, me, us, we, say we, that might be better. We are a chosen generation. Get it? Get it? We are a chosen generation. By whom? That's right. A royal priesthood. Who are you, Greg? You are a royal what? Well, yeah, then why do you need somebody to go to God? Because he just said to you, you're a royal priesthood. A holy nation. Amen? And understand, I'm just giving you what the Bible says. In the Old Testament, before Jesus, you had to go to the high priest. He was the leader of the ministry, wherever they were. And he was the only one that can go in the Holy of Holies and go back there behind the curtain and offer, take your offering and pray to God that you be forgiven. For you had to bring a pigeon or a dove or a goat or whatever it was you had to bring, but you had to bring one of them and they slaughtered it, sacrificed it, and he was the only one that could go back and talk to God. That's the way it was. But we're not living in the was. We're living in the covenant of grace. Amen? You, we, who? Yeah. Are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Listen to this if you want more. His own special people. Don't you dare do it. His own special people. Marilyn, you are a special person to God. Right? Amen. Friend, you are special to God. I don't know what with your wife today. I'm not sure the days of the week, but you are special to God. His own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Does it get any better than this? Does the word of God not move you to this point where you say, you know, God, you're really looking on me, you really love me? I'm going to close with this. I'm going to read some more from Peter, what Peter told us. Peter wrote this, the second congregational, to be read on February 24th, year 2018, or 25th, whatever day it is today, we're reading it. Amen. And I love this word. When you hear the word, therefore, it is done. When the Bible says, therefore, amen, it's done. So therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. How much of your care? Hallelujah. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is not a roaring lion. He walks around like one. And it says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Hallelujah. But may the God of all grace... May the God of all grace... How many times, I wonder, had Reverend Graham read this? These next six lines. How many times he had read this in church? How many times he had read this? But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen. Give Him praise, church. You are royal priesthoods. You go out to the world. Tell people about God. Don't deny Him. Talk to people about God. Tell people about the Word of God. Tell people what God did in your life. Tell people things that you want them to know about the Lord. That He loves. He has compassion. That all people are welcome in this church. Anybody searching for God is welcome in this church. There's hope for people that come to this church, because we're going to read this. Just like Reverend Graham read from this book and gave that message over and over. Jesus is our salvation. Hallelujah. Give Him praise, church. I understand you have something you want to share with your church family.
I wish. Or someone will start off.
Close to that, so.
Oh.
Don't be shy.
I'm not used to speaking to people that are not 5 or 6 years old, so bear with me. You're a little taller than they are.
You get a little closer to the mic, too.
Oh, closer to my mouth. I'd like to read a Bible verse first. Delight yourself into the Lord, unto the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Well, that verse was very special to us 39 years ago, because we had gotten married and we were praying for a child. Well, it's all in the Lord's timing. It took 11 and a half years, but we were blessed with our baby boy, who was now going to be 28. But we had a lot of obstacles that get past, but it was in the Lord's timing, and it couldn't have been more perfect. So we praised God for that. Now, normally you would think one miracle per customer, but the Lord has blessed us with another miracle. I have a donor, a kidney donor. And thank you. And I'm not sure how soon, but I don't think it's going to be very much longer that we set the date. But I'll let you all know. And thank you for all your prayers. Thank you.
And we'd like to thank Greg and Elaine, because they offered one of their kidneys. And it wasn't meant to be, but they stepped up to the plate, I guess.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you.
I guess extremely lucky, and I thank all you guys and my pastor.
Tell him what happened, Deacon.
And, well, my pastor called me up the night before I was going to go get a test done. And he wished me well and God's blessings. Well, God followed me into all this. I got through it okay. My doctor, who was very skeptical, I guess you might say, maybe a little prejudiced. But anyway, he did the test and found out that a problem that I've had for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, 7 years, was going away. So I thought that was fantastic. And Marilyn has changed my diet. My best buddy. And whatever she did with the diet, it's for my blood type, according to a book. And it works. I say it works. So I don't have to take a statin. I didn't have to have that little gadget stuck into my arteries. And I guess I'll probably have another test eventually, but I don't think I'm going to have to worry about it. Not like I did this time. But thank my Lord and thank all you guys. And thank you, Pastor Larry.
Love you, Deacon. Good job, Marilyn. Yeah. If it's in your heart to help, amen, that's what church is for. And when you start, somebody once said, well, I don't want to do anything for the church because I need something right now. No, it's the opposite way. You come and do for the church. You enter the ministry of helps, the Bible says. The ministry of helps. You come even when you don't feel like it, and you come and you help people, and all of a sudden your problems aren't quite that big, and all of a sudden something else is happening, and then you're getting your prayer answered. So it's backwards. It's God first, and God will help you. Amen. But you needed to be here today. We sent it out to hear. Imagine those two testimonies. Is that not enough to say God is alive in this church and the church is on fire for God and we're on the right trail? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Reverend Billy Graham talked about Jesus. Jesus. That's our Lord and Savior. We have that. You're a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. I love that. I love that right there. A chosen generation. Dave, that's you. When you go to the archery course with all your buddies, you're a chosen generation. God is looking at you because He loves you like that. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We need to stand united. We can't let the world divide us. We can't let opinions, we can't let disagreements divide us. So when you watch people and you hear people and they start speaking this tone of disagreement and hating somebody because they disagree with you, be very careful to not let that into your spirit. Please understand, it may be exactly what you believe, what they're saying. It may be exactly, but don't let that get into your spirit because you don't want to hate people simply because they disagree. Maybe the one that disagrees with you most has an idea or an opinion that really would work if we only listen. We cannot let the devil win in the world and in your heart and your spirit.